Recently, as far as we can tell, a Queensland man was the first to receive an innovative procedure for an enlarged prostate. The same technique has been used for fibroids in the uterus as well, but it isn't well known. Dr. Roger Livesey is an interventional radiologist at the Mater in Brisbane, and he's one of the pioneers.
There's a new procedure which has been developed in Europe to treat benign prostate hyperplasia, the very common condition of men of middle age. The technique is simply to get into the arteries feeding the prostate, fill them full of tiny particles, and this blocks the arteries and causes the gland to shrink whilst retaining continence and retaining the ability to ejaculate, which the normal treatments don't maintain.
They don't maintain? How come?
The normal treatment for benign prostate hypertrophy is the transurethral resection, which is scraping out the gland from inside, and that takes away the sphincter, the seal at the top of the gland, which when a man ejaculates, it stops the sperm going up and makes it go down. So therefore,
so it's like a valve, so you lose the valve, so it only goes back.
It only goes back, that's right.
How do you find the artery in the prostate?
There we are, that's a trade secret. But in fact, it's not that hard, and we well practiced in it from other procedures. You feed small catheters into little tiny tubes.
What, from the thigh, from the femoral artery, or where?
Well, people who are doing a lot of them tend to use the arm, because going from the arm gives you a very straight line. You haven't got to do big curves and bends. You inject dye when you think you're in the right place. You do a CAT scan at the same time and you can see where the dye is and you know you're in the right place.
Okay, so you stick in the catheter in the radial artery in the hand and you feed it down through the aorta down towards the pelvis where the thing is, and by some magic you find your way to this tiny little artery that supplies the prostate.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah. Brachial artery commonly at the moment, just in the bend of the elbow.
So just take me through the risks of this procedure.
The risks, the actual technical risks of getting in and getting to the thing are very low. And the actual procedure, there's a surprising number of them been done now, hundreds, and they're not causing big trouble.
But not in Australia?
Not in Australia, no. You can cause ulceration if you put the particles in the wrong place, they'll block blood supply to the wrong areas. And you can get ulcers in bowel, ulcers in bladder. There have been cases where people needed surgery to correct these problems. But so far as I know, nobody's done anything too terrible with it apart from that.
So the radiologist has got to be pretty sure they're in the right artery.
Yes. You know the technique. You know where the arteries are. You put dye in to see where they're feeding, and then you put dye in to do the little CAT scan to see what's actually being fed, and you know where you are.
So before you put any particles in, you make sure that what you're injecting in is going into the prostate itself.
Yes, that's right.
So these are little particles, what, just little plastic bubbles or something? Or what are they?
Basically, they're inert material and they just act as a mechanical block. There's various brands and sorts of them, but they're essentially tiny, tiny particles of plastic, half a millimetre.
So you're essentially causing a prostate attack?
Yes. But we infarct it. It dies. The inside of it dies.
What happens to it all?
Well, somehow the body mops it up afterwards. It shrinks. The cells, once they're dead, they lose their water, they shrink, and then blood supply around it cleans things up, and the phagocytes, the cells in the blood, take all the bits and pieces away, and it all cleans up.
And does it destroy the whole prostate? I mean, one of the issues of benign prostate enlargement is men have different sizes of prostate. So you can have a really large prostate. How much tissue do you actually lose, and is it enough to get rid of the man's urinary symptoms?
Well, the evidence from overseas is that, yes, when you embolise the centre of it, you're embolising the gland tissue, not the capsule, not the thick sheath around it. And you embolise the lot and it all shrinks down.
Magic. Are there any side effects apart from the complications you just mentioned?
I don't think so, no. It basically produces a shrunken gland and restores urine flow and leaves one's sexual function as it was.
So the man walks out, gets in the car and goes home?
No, they'll keep a catheter in for a few days.
So they're catheterised and then you
follow them up.
So the first one was done by your colleague, and you've been doing ones for fibroids for a long time, the same procedure. Explain what a fibroid is, first of all.
Ladies get them. It's a benign growth on the uterus. They're very common. Some populations have 50 to 70%. Ladies have at least one small one. They can get very big. They can cause terrible bleeding, menorrhagia. They can cause trouble just by their mass, and if they're in the right place, they can cause a lot of trouble getting pregnant in younger ladies, but they are benign.
And what's been the treatment before embolisation came along?
Oh, there's various treatments. The most drastic one is hysterectomy, but short of that, you've got myomectomy, which is cutting out the fibroid and the associated piece of uterus and sewing the uterus together again. And there's hormone treatments, and if they're inside the uterus, if they're up against the uterine lining, there's a resectoscope. You can go inside and scrape them out.
So how successful is embolisation for fibroids?
Extremely. We've been doing it for about 15 years now. We've only done a couple of hundred of them, but there's many tens of thousands done internationally. And very few side effects.
So tell me about cost here.
I do them for nothing at the Mater Public Hospital. I just ignore the cost of it.
How typical of a doctor in the public system. But seriously, if this has got legs, and I'm always hesitant talking about new technologies on the health report, yeah, because, you know, things go wrong and, you know, there are commercial interests and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not going to fly if it's going to cost a fortune.
Oh, it doesn't cost a fortune. It costs less than a hysterectomy.
And the prostate embolization?
It shouldn't cost a lot either. The particles can be a few hundred bucks at the moment. The companies make a lot of money out of these particles. And the catheters and all the rest, but the actual consumables aren't too bad.
And I should get just a declaration of interest. You don't take any money from these companies?
No.
Ophthalmologists say, but, you know, if a new procedure comes along for cataracts, it takes them 25 eyes to get good at it. How many prostates or fibroids do you have to do before you're good at it?
We didn't have any problems early on. We took longer to do it, and there was more fiddling around with equipment and discovering what worked and what didn't work.
So this is a wee bit disruptive, isn't it? You're presumably peeing off the gynecologists because you're taking away their business with fibroids in the uterus, and now the urologists are being done out of a job because you're embolizing the prostate.
The gynecologists of the Mater now are on side. It's good. I will say that some of the patients who come for the fibroid embolization are somewhat unhappy because they've had consultations which have led to a recommendation for hysterectomy and had to find out about this for themselves.
How often do you have to repeat the procedure with fibroids to do the job?
We haven't for years.
And Roger, do you know if it's happening elsewhere in Australia, or is Brisbane, as always, leading the way?
There's some being done down south. I don't know how many. Elsewhere in Brisbane, there's occasional ones being done, but the referral isn't there. People don't get referred, and it's just too hard. The thing about the prostate is, I'm sure, once the power group of men knows that there's this treatment out there which will leave them able to have sex properly still, then there'll be some demand for the procedure.
You've got to get referred. Roger Livesey is an interventional radiologist at the Mater in Brisbane.